You're listening to the USEA official podcast, which takes you behind the scenes of eventing, covering all the big events, professional tips and tricks, interviews, special guests, and the latest USEA eventing news. Welcome to the USEA official podcast, episode 275. Welcome back, listeners. And we are going to be looking forward to 2021 in this show because we have a whole year ahead of us and it should be a big one. Lots to look forward to. And I have a full team back in the house. I'm delighted. Rob Burke, I believe you're even recording this in the office.
I am. I get in here once in a while. So it's good to hear you, Nicole.
It's nice to be back because obviously working has changed so much in the last sort of 9-10 months. And actually, that sort of back in the office feeling, new year, lots of excitement. I'm a little bit jealous.
Yeah, it's kind of, I think it's my cheater day because I get to escape the kids. I love my kids. I get to escape my kids and I have a little bit of privacy. It's kind of nice.
Sounds ideal. Dom, how is Sunny Ireland?
Ireland is actually sunny at the moment. It's like minus something degrees and there's lots of ice everywhere, but it's sunny, it's good. I'm so jealous, and it's amazing to actually be jealous of those things. I had no appreciation for what people were talking about in previous years when they were saying, oh, I'd just love to get to the office and how great work is sometimes to escape home. And I can kind of feel it now. I'm cooped up, Nicole. I'm as cooped up as I've ever been starting a year. So I'm sitting here beside my bed recording, trying to get through the workday. Good to be back.
No, it's just different, isn't it? I think that's the thing. I'm recording this in our caravan because our house renovation is still ongoing, listeners. I will get out of it in the next few months, I'm sure, but it is still ongoing. And finally, Max, you are in sunny Florida.
I am in, well, not so sunny today, but it is pretty sunny Florida for the most part, yes.
Are you down there setting up, obviously, season is nearly upon us, really. Things in full swing from your perspective now?
It is. It has gotten quite busy. The new World Equestrian Center is up and running. The other jumper show Hits is about to kick in. We've got our first recognized horse trials just down the road at Barnstaple South, which is so early. So yes, it is in full swing. There are lots of license plates from other states down here, and it's getting quite busy.
Oh, it's exciting. There is nothing quite like that sort of new season. And obviously, we're building up to the Olympics, which we will be talking about a lot on the show over the next few months, listeners. And we've got some exclusive behind the scenes for you with the Team Talk series too. But there is just lots to look forward to. Okay, what we thought about on this show, listeners, is that we would kind of pick out a few of the key highlights of 2021 that we're looking forward to, but also we might make a few of our own sneaky predictions of things that we think might happen this year. So we will start off by Rob. I was going to ask you a little bit more about the very exciting new series that the USEA has launched this year in the Interscholastic League.
Yeah,
tell us a bit
of
the IEL.
IEL, the Interscholastic Venting League. It's actually, I'm personally really excited about it because it's kind of building off of the success of our intercollegiate program. So these are students from seventh grade through 12th. So their last year of high school before they head off to college. And they will be competing as teams. They'll be competing as individuals throughout the year. And it's another way to highlight our juniors and create kind of a team atmosphere. A lot of the program will focus on volunteerism and sportsmanship. So, no, super excited. And my oldest daughter, Emma, is already on a team. So we are for Iron Bridge Hounds Pony Club. So keep an eye on that fantastic team this year.
And you can pick your own name as well and everything, can't you?
You can. And we've already got some pretty crazy ones and some boring ones, like when I put in the Ironbridge Hounds Pony Club name. Some of us are less creative than others.
No, I think it's really nice to see, though, Max, isn't it, that people have really kind of embraced it and it's proving really popular already. And I guess it's a really enthusiastic age group and it's a really good chance for people to get that kind of team experience at a young age as well.
Exactly. And there's such good camaraderie too, for people to be able to work together and get to know each other. And then you're competing against each other at this event and that event. And you just get to know each other, but builds a bit of a community for these guys as well. So it makes it a bit more fun. You're competing for yourself, but you're also competing for other people too. So it's going to be great. The enthusiasm is awesome. You know, for the first year, it's quite incredible.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to following it. I think we will follow it on the podcast throughout the year as well. And actually, if you are interested, listeners, and you think, actually, that is something I would like to do, then go to useventing.com and you can find out everything that you need to know on the website. And if you're a little bit too old to be taking part, then take a look at all of the other programs as well. And maybe you might start to think, now, I really wanted to target for this year. So one of the things that you could possibly do, just going to throw it out there, is look at qualifying for the American Eventing Championships. Because Rob, we did, obviously, we were hoping that it was going to run this year, and we did actually record, listeners, a preview show that unfortunately we weren't able to release because that damn C word cropped up and we weren't able to go ahead. But Rob, just for anybody who isn't familiar, it is such a championship party experience. I know it's your favorite event of the year. Tell everybody how they can sort of set their target and actually get to a championship, because it is so achievable.
It is, yeah. So we've had, it'll be our, at least under the current contract, our last year in Kentucky before we head off to Montana. So that's a big thing. But it is achievable. There's, because we had to postpone the championship last year, the Board of Governors, including Max, decided to allow for those who qualified last year to, as long as they run an MER within 4 months of the competition in 2021, they can go based off their qualifications from the previous year. And then for those who have been competing through the fall and winter, and then are continuing to compete up through August of this year, they'll be able to qualify in much the same way as previous years. It's usually involves having a placing of first, second, or third, but usually first, and then a total of three clear cross-country runs to be able to qualify.
Yeah, and it's a chance to compete on the hallowed turf of Kentucky, which, to be honest, sounds, to a lot of amateurs and a lot of people at any level of the sport, a real, real opportunity. And Neutrino Feeds have been huge supporters of it as well. Really grateful for them for their continued support into 2021. And they are taking place, listeners, August 31st to September 5th. So you have got loads of time to set out your plan of action as to how you could get there. I'm looking forward to that. And hopefully we will get a proper preview show for you as well, listeners, for it, that you will enjoy as well. Dee, exciting year for Equa Ratings. Lots going on, I know, behind the scenes.
Lots going on behind the scenes, yeah. But it's so difficult. I know Sam did this preview with Equa Ratings with you recently, and I was learning some of the things that were going to happen as well at the same time as you. So to be going in, to be trying to explain, okay, product side, what's happening? And yes, ultimately, I suppose it is my responsibility to know what's fully happening this year. But
you only run the company, Dee. It's fine.
I know. But actually, I've tried to take a different approach. Normally, January is such a time where you've got, where you start afresh and all your plans are coming, and you're looking at your New Year's resolutions and all the rest. And this year we've tried to be a little bit different, insofar as it's that recognition of it is coming off the back of a strange year, like a year like no other. And we're still, for many people around the world, we're still in, some of us in Europe are still in various lockdowns, and I'm sure in various states in the US there's still a lot of uncertainty and fear out there. So what we've tried to do is not set a lot of targets, not set a lot of new resolutions, and just recognize that actually what we have been doing and what we are currently doing, which is all still here, still looking forward, still doing our best, is actually enough for now. So it is an exciting year, but we're trying to approach it a little bit differently, which is not going to be to say, we have to hit X target or we have to hit Y target. There's lots of things we're looking forward to, but we're not pinning all our hopes on any one thing because of I suppose, what happened last year and the ability to be to change like we had to last year. So we're trying to keep it as general as we can, Nicole. We've new products coming out. We spent a lot of time last year. It was a good opportunity for us to be able to step back after kind of 4 or 5 years of a fairly hectic work, to be able to step back and review a lot of our stuff and say, okay, well, are we bringing the usability to some of our performance metrics that we want? Do people, I suppose, when we started, a lot of things were very complex. Last year, we launched simple metrics to be able to help people at any level be able to calculate their own performance goals. So a little bit more of that, a little bit more Eventing Manager. I'm sure lots more event previews and reviews. I'm sure lots more podcasts, lots more articles. But at the moment, I would say everything remains pretty fluid, and we're trying to stay in the game from a kind of a keeping spirits high and level rather than trying to set a whole lot of new targets this year.
Yeah, and I think actually you make a really good point, and it's something we touched upon in the last show that we did with you, me and Coach Sando, about Tony Sandoval, looking at sort of new year, new targets. And actually, you know, last year was not what we expected. And yes, this show, we're previewing 2021. We're all really excited. And I, for one, am really sort of focusing on the fact that we've got to kind of look for what we hope will happen. And then if things change, then they change. But it's important to remember, isn't it? Yes, we're really positive about it. But certainly in the UK at the moment, we are completely locked down. And so things are, you know, a little bit uncertain, listeners, and we hope that you appreciate that, you know, we haven't got a crystal ball, we can't predict the future, but we can hopefully look forward to what we've got coming up this year, and I'm sure there'll be a few surprises thrown in along the way. We wouldn't be expecting otherwise, but yes, it's an important point to make. Rob, one of the things that actually came out sort of March last year, that really kind of gathered speed and headlines over a time that was so uncertain for the sport, was the safety and the frangible technology fund, which has been increasing throughout 2020. Have we got an update as to where we are on the magic $500,000 mark?
So yeah, we are within $12,000. So it's close. I mean, if you think about it from that perspective, we have triggered several large matches, and so we're 12,000 away from triggering the final match to get us over the hump. It's pretty amazing.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and in the midst of the pandemic, for people to kind of open their wallets and commit to this, I mean, it just shows the passion behind it. And behind, you know, risk management and safety. And at the same time, we've got a bunch of cool initiatives. Like Max has been pushing hard on, there's a new helmet research lab based at Virginia Tech, my alma mater, go Hokies, where they'll be doing a bunch of research on helmet technology and safety and better understanding levels of protection for those. And I mean, we've got stuff coming from every direction on safety. So it's good, you know, it gives you a lot of confidence moving forward, especially after early last year, having such a terrible loss of Kath Morrell and Carry On. So for us, it's, just putting our focus on improving safety, reducing risk. You know, we've made some good strides.
Yeah, it's been an incredible team effort. I know so many people that have really sort of put themselves out there and worked tirelessly to make it happen. John Holling, I know, has got something up his sleeve for when you hit the $500,000 target. Now, Rob, when we did a show with John last year, there was talk that when this magic number was hit, that you might get roped in to some sort of forfeit as well. Has there anything more been said on that?
He hasn't. And thanks for reminding him, Nicole.
My pleasure.
Well, I did tell him I would do something, but I was not going to get a tattoo.
I heard him try to talk Lauren Nicholson, formerly Kiefer, into getting a tattoo once they raised the final 12. And I think her answer was, if you pay me $12,000, I'll get it.
Well, we will watch this space. We might just have to give John a little nudge and remind him. But listeners, if you have already donated, but you think, do you know what, you might have one or two more dollars that you could spare, or you haven't donated but would like to contribute, then you can do so. All of the information is on the website. And $12,000 to reach the 500,000 mark is absolutely incredible. So we are so close. And hopefully we will be able to kind of share the news that we are there very soon.
I think we had just 100 more kits that are just arriving this week to get sent out too. So, which is really cool. So we've got 100 more fences that will be frangible within the next few months.
It's amazing. Honestly, the impact that it has across the whole country, and hopefully the lives that it will save, and the kind of this just strides forward in the sport is just incredible. And it is so nice to see. Quite often, you know, money is raised and it's amazing and it's for a really good cause, but you don't always necessarily see it or see where it goes. Whereas actually these are physical fences that when you are jumping at an event, you will be jumping these fences and they will be making your round safer, which is just brilliant. So yes, we will keep you updated on that, but very, very close. Okay, one more thing, listeners, I wanted to say that we have to look forward to this year is the Team Talk series with Eric Duvander and Jenny Autry, looking to follow the US team's progress through to those Tokyo 2021 Olympics, as they are now. We spoke to Jenny and Eric just before Christmas with a bit of an update. So that is out now. If you want to go and listen back, you can do. It's the third of the shows with them. And I have to admit, it's not often that you get that sort of exclusive access to follow an Olympic team. So we will be very much looking forward to that over the year. And if you've got any questions that are, you know, that you would really like to put to them, then send them in. We'll see what we can do over the coming months. Okay, prediction time. I love a prediction. I never get them right, but I'm going to, you know, put my best foot forward and see what I can do. We thought that it might be fun, listeners, to all just pick something that we think could happen in 2021. And it can be absolutely anything, preferably eventing related. Dee, do you want to get the ball rolling and throw one out there early on?
What kind of thing? I mean, we haven't really settled. I mean, you gave us no guidance on this in advance. Like, what kind of thing are you hoping for? Because, I mean, I can go anywhere with this. I mean, are we talking Olympics? Are we talking Kentucky? Are we talking about some of our big four-star short winners, horses that are going to break through?
Can be anything. The choice is yours. You've got first pick. So actually, you could go any direction that you like. Basically, it should be eventing related and it should be something that we could kind of say, yes, that did or didn't happen. Okay. So it could be a Kentucky winner. It could be who wins the Olympics. It could be where the US team will finish at the Olympics. Up to you.
Well, I'm going to pick a championships, which is very dear to my heart. And as you know, I tend to side with winners. I search for things that I know are going to be sure things. And then I really hitch my trailer
to
that team. Yeah. So I'm not going to break from tradition. It's we're going for three in a row. You can forget the Olympics and you can forget Kentucky. You can forget all those four-star shorts all around the US that are going to happen this year. I am going for my team, Auburn, to be champion yet again. There was two in a row now, but I mean, they've been a dominant force at intercollegiate level. We didn't get to do three in a row as a team last year. We are coming back this year to Virginia, and we are going to lay it down for a third time. So Auburn to be intercollegiate champions again in 2021. We've had to delay that hat trick by a year, so the celebrations are going to be wild all across Alabama, and in a little small place in Ireland you'll have Dermot Byrne screaming home the Auburn intercollegiate orange and blue team, whatever they want to bring. We will be here celebrating in Dublin. So yeah, I'm going for Auburn to make a three.
Can we get you some sort of Auburn hat?
I know, we need to get you some swag.
I've been in direct contact. They are already on training programs. We're linked in with Auburn. So yeah, I'm ready for swag.
They're limbering up. Okay. Yeah, excellent. Okay, I am going to throw mine in next, and I am going to go for the highest placed US combination at the Olympic Games. But I think they will also be the highest placed US combination. I don't know if I'll say that they will win it. I'll come back to that in a second. At Kentucky, I think they will go to Kentucky. That will certainly be plan A. And I think they will be one of the first names on the team sheet for the US team to go to Tokyo. And I will say that Boyd Martin and Sexy Legs are going to be the highest placed US combination.
I was so nervous when you were doing that build up. My heart was beating. I was like, God, Nicole is really getting off the fence here. This is not like Nicole. She's talking about who's going to be on the team sheet. She's talking about Kentucky. She's talking about them finishing in a high place at the Olympic Games. Yeah, I think you've been safe enough. Sexy Legs is a good pick.
I normally sit so far on the fence, listeners, that I get a splinter. But I'm feeling very confident. He is a Pan American Games gold medalist. He won that with absolutely no problems, as he should, two levels below where he would normally be at. He's been second at Kentucky. He's getting better and better. Sexy Legs.
Boyd's finally healthy too.
He's had all the operations.
He's been in a long time. Yeah.
He's like the bionic man now. He's going to be firing by the summer. I'm putting all my eggs in their basket.
Yeah, I think super safe bet.
Don't jinx him.
No, that I think, and Luke 140 as well. I think he's going to have a great year. Yeah. As well. I think Boyd has been set up and his horses have been set up well for this year. So that's super safe.
I might make a secondary prediction then. Luke 140 to have a podium finish at the new 5-star at Fair Hill in the fall.
Sounds good. Yeah. I think too, you know, along those lines, I'm not going to focus on individuals, but I would say that I would not be surprised to see those two horses in the top three of our USCA horse leaderboards at the end of the year either. Or even, you know, I'll stay safe and say top five, but because of our new leaderboard structure where it's your six best runs for the year, if he gets a good showing at the Olympics, a good showing at Kentucky or Fair Hill or even at the AEC, which I'm pretty sure he's going to on either one of those horses, he'll be right up at the top.
Yeah, very good. Is that your prediction?
No. I'm going to go, actually related to our previous conversation, I'm going to say by the end of this year, we have more frangible devices per event at US competitions than at any competition in the world.
Ooh.
Yes, Rob Burke. That's what I'm talking about. What I love about when we were having kind of our, as I was saying, we're looking at it a little bit differently in terms of our planning for the year. But wouldn't it be such a cool thing to look back on 2021, you know, for you two who've been involved in so many meetings and so many virtual meetings in the last year, but before that, you know, so many committees, and are aware of just the depth and breadth of people who are all making an effort to try and solve this and try and increase safety. Wouldn't it be such a achievement to look back at the end of 2021 and to be able to say that? I think because risk management is such a constantly moving target, there's very few wins. You know, there's very few celebrations of things that are actually lines in the sand that you achieved, that any of us have achieved. And I think to be able to set a target like that, where you can look back over 2021 and know the role that both of you and that everybody else on those committees and beyond the committees and part of the kind of the wider membership, I think it's an achievement for everybody in the USCA if we can look back at 2021 and say, you know, more frangible devices than anywhere else in the world. Like what a cool thing to be able to stand over.
Yeah, I agree. And even if we lose by a smidge, which I don't think will happen, but even if we lose by a smidge to say Ireland steps up, it's no one loses, you know.
It's
risk management, right?
I think it's one thing that's so cool with this, with the frangible stuff, are how the course builders, the course designers, especially the course builders, they really are digging this. They want to be part of it. They are constantly looking at different ways to use the frangible technology, whether it's the kits that we're sending out to them or some other ideas. And we've got members of our committees that are literally rocket scientists, and the passion that people have to help continue to, you know, make the sport safer, because it's not a safe sport, to reduce the risk in our sport, and then to be able to see it work and save lives is so cool. It's really fabulous. It's really cool.
We want to get a course builder or to be fair, a course designer on the show at some point to actually kind of pick that apart in more detail, because it is fascinating how it works.
Yeah.
And how they incorporate it into their courses, and how they think about making everything safer.
The thing that's hard on that, Nicole, and we touched on it when we did our preview to the first virtual convention. We're lucky enough at our normal conventions to be able to see that in action. And it is a very visual presentation. Mm. You know, Max mentioned our rocket scientists in our community. And when you actually think back, you know, what Dave Voss has brought to not just the sport in the US, but worldwide, and his ability to bring a simple concept and then for the community to build on that, you know, what you're actually looking at, you know, a kettlebell swinging from a tractor, but there's, you know, so much science that's going into the power and the, I suppose I get nervous here when we start going into two scientific terms. I can already feel Sam on my shoulder and Dave Voss on my other shoulder being like, get this right, we're going to talk about it. So I won't. I'll talk about it in much more general terms. But for what Dave was able to present, and the only reason I'd say it's much harder on a podcast, Nicole, is it is very visual when you see that, when you see some, and the clips are all there on the USEA website. But that was the beginning of it, which was, I mean, it wasn't the very beginning, but it was the beginning of a more recent push, I would say, which was being able to see a very simple application of testing frangible devices. And then post things like the convention a couple of years ago, where everybody shared those ideas again, that renewed impetus comes, and that's what leads to, you know, now a full year post where we didn't get to have the normal convention, I suppose, to all revisit it together over a drink and over a chat, but we got to do it to some degree in a virtual capacity. But to have that target, which, you know, John has played such a big role in promoting, and the community have gotten behind, I think that's why I kind of feel like it is the energy of certain individuals, but it's then the power of the community joining with that. And a very simple thing, which is, can we get to a certain level, or can we display testing a frangible device in a very simple way? And being able to bring these quite complex concepts into a very simple way, I think that's when people begin to get behind it. That's when momentum begins to build. And Max, you know, that's when I think the course builders and course designers begin to say, okay, well, we've actually had years of talking about frangibles, but I don't think we've ever seen the adoption and the excitement like we've probably seen in the last 18 months or so.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think it's important to note too, I mean, there's so much more to risk management and safety than just these devices. These devices are just like one thing at the end of the day, a stopgap measure. And so, you know, I think the reason I'm bringing this forward is my prediction is because it's a measurable thing, but I still want people to like leave the podcast saying, well, you know, I'm still going to take responsibility for my own training, my own approach to the fence, my own, you know, everything that goes into this, the safety equipment I use personally, you know, and looking at your Erky ratings before you go out on that horse on course, because everybody has access to them. But yeah, I'm pretty comfortable with this one, because we're going to invest even more throughout the year into this, and I'm excited.
I think there's huge pressure on Max here, because I think we have gone for like quite different but very safe, I would say, predictions. I think all of us can say there's, we're pretty confident in ours, Max. So
I'm feeling pretty good about mine. I was thinking, I was trying to think, was I going to go global or am I going to go national? And so my prediction is that we are going to get the highest number of entries at the American Eventing Championships than we've ever had before.
No. Okay.
Because it's the last year in Kentucky and we didn't have it last year. And there's so many people that are dying on their novice horse to go through the head of the lake. So, mm-hmm. and to go down that ramp into the main stadium. And there are more people that are, it's a bit safe. I mean, it's kind of cheating, a bit safe, because there are a lot of people that are already qualified and people now have a lot more time to be qualified. But I think a lot of people are putting this on their bucket list because we don't know if it's going to return to Kentucky. So I am predicting, I think our last time we were there, there was what, 1,000? We started just over 1,000 or just under 1,000 horses.
Yeah, 924 and 27.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think we're going to start over 1,000 in this next one.
Okay. I love this type of show because if on the absolute, chance we get something right, there's a clip. There is something proven somewhere that we said this and we'll be able to produce it and relive it. But listeners, we would love to know what you think would happen in 2021. So if you would like to throw your predictions into the mix as well, then send them in to us. And we might even get a chance on the next show to include a couple of your suggestions as well. So please do get in touch and just comment on social media on any of the promotion for this show, or drop any of us a message and we will add them into the list as well. But team, it has been lovely to have everybody back together. I am looking forward to seeing how we all get on. Dan's prediction will come up first, won't it? Or will it be mine?
Auburn, that won't be till the end of the year, will it?
No, it's May. It's May.
Oh, the championships are right. We awarded it, and we award usually at the USCF meeting, which is great. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Dam, well, my first part of mine is Kentucky, I guess. So that's first. Then it'll be Dam. And then finish of mine at Tokyo. And then Max, then Rob. So we will follow it. We'll look forward to that. Team, thank you all so much. Stay safe. And listeners, we have got lots coming up your way. We had a planning meeting with episode suggestions. We, in the next few shows, we will be focusing on getting your horses fit for the upcoming season. Lots of top tips there. There might even be a Valentine's special.
Whoa.
I'll just throw that one out there. So stay tuned for that in around middle of February. But we have got loads of
all the heartthrobs of the sport.
So listeners, if you don't already, then hit that subscribe button and stay with us for the rest of 2021. Max, Rob, Dan, thank you all very much. And listeners, we will be back with you very shortly. Take care and thank you for listening. Thanks for listening to the USEA official podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you. Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode.